Be doers and not hearers only. James 1, beginning in verse 22. So if you would take your Bibles and turn there, because you're going to need them. Because I'm going to ask questions and expect answers. James 1, 22. And I'm going to read this from the HCSB, the Holman Christian Standard Bible, or Hardcore Southern Baptist, whichever way you want to look at that. But I like the way that it says this. James 1, 22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man looking at his own face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it and is not a forgetful hearer but one who does good works, this person will be blessed in what he does. Now, to put that in context, keep your Bibles open. Look back. Start with verse 19 that we heard, not last week, 2 weeks ago. My dearly beloved brothers, understand this. Everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For man's anger does not accomplish God's righteousness. Therefore, ridding yourselves of all moral filth and evil, humbly receive the implanted word, which is able to save you. Now that part is important because that flows right into where we start. Therefore, ridding yourselves of all moral filth and evil, get rid of all the garbage in your life by humbly receive the implanted word, which is able to save you. And then that continues right into, so be doers of the word and not hearers only. So taking that is important. We need to receive the implanted word so that we can get rid of the moral filth and evil in our lives. Okay. Oh, I said that. All right. Okay. B. When we go and look at some specific words. B. Doers of the word. B means a directive. It's not optional. It's continually. Keep on striving. So keep on being a doer. A doer of the word is somebody that's the character of the whole person. All your innermost being, mind, soul, spirit, and emotions. Every part of what you are, not just what you do. That's important. Every part of who we are, not just what you do. Because we can, well, I'm jumping ahead. Sorry. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Now, hearers can, there's different kinds of hearers. Hearers can sit passively in the audience and listen, but not with your heart. This is probably too spiritual of a crowd that you wouldn't have watched. We watched on TV last week The Voice. And these musicians come and sing, and they've got four stars that listen to them, and they turn around and say, yes, I like you. I want you to be on my team. And some of those judges, you can see them, and they'll kind of sit there. And then other judges, well, they'll show them, and they're, and they're really, you can tell, oh, they're really getting into this song. They're really enjoying that. I took a music theory class long time ago, from Dr. Mary Jean Van Appeldorn. Dr. Van, that we called her, was a little odd, but she was a genius. She was a true genius. She knew music so well. She was an incredible keyboardist, organist and pianist and everything like that. But she would be lecturing on Beethoven's Third Symphony and talking about that, and then she'd sit down. Then in the second movement, he does this, and she'd sit down and play it. But then, during the recapitulation of that, he goes and does this, and she'd sit down and play it. It was incredible, the things that she would do. Dr. Van made us all, you either did this or you failed her class, she made us all become active listeners, involved listeners. Now, you know some classical music. You know, dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. Okay, that's Beethoven's Fifth Symphony. Everybody knows that, okay? And I could go, before I had taken her class, I could go and sit and listen to things. In fact, Renee and I have been to some symphony orchestra concerts that my great uncle took us to. And we'd sit there and long time ago, this is probably too spiritual of a group, but a long time ago there was a thing called American Bandstand that was on the TV. And they would say, okay, so that was a new song. How did you like that song? Well, it had a good beat, easy to dance to. I'll give it an 85. You know, but they really didn't pay a lot of attention to that. We really didn't pay a lot of attention to the symphony orchestra thing. It was great and I enjoyed it, but I didn't know enough about it. But Dr. Van said, okay, there's theme one, da 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 da, da 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 da. And you can hear theme one and then carry that across, and then here's the bridge and here's theme two. And you can hear theme two come across, and then here comes the development of this. Well, here's a little bit of theme one, and here's a little bit of theme two, and how he puts those things together. And then here's the recapitulation. He brings back theme one and theme two and develops that and brings it all back together into the final closing. And you had to watch and be able to listen to something that part of our final exam in there, we had to listen to one of Beethoven's symphonies. We weren't told which one. But we would have to go through and say, yes, now is theme one. Yes, this is theme two. Okay, the development starts here and does that from something that we had not studied. So you had to listen actively. You had to be a part of that. Different kinds of hearers. I wrote this down. We have a family member that lives far away. And he was telling me that a lot of the people that he works with likes to sit and talk about the Bible and listen to people talk about the Bible, but they don't like to do what the Bible says very well because it messes up lifestyles. And I told him, well, I'm glad Americans aren't that way, because goodness, that must be something that people in other countries do. That was deceptive, what I just said, in case you did. Deceiving. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. Deceiving. Deceiving means incorrect reasoning, including false reasoning or lies for the purpose of deceiving. Now, we can deceive other people. Jesus pointed to a group of people that were deceiving others and said, you're like whitewashed tombs. Pretty and white and clean on the outside, but full of dead men's bones on the inside. So there was deception, deceiving of others going on. But maybe a more dangerous part is deceiving yourselves. Look at that. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. I have talked to people who have said, I said that prayer when I was 7 years old. But they've lived like the devil ever since. And was there really a transformation? Was there really a heart change? Was there really... Do you... Do you really think that just because you said these 20 words, just because I sat down with Pastor Travis and he said, now pray, dear Lord, and repeat that, is that really going to transform a heart? Or is it going to be a sincere heart that's changed? And that becomes important. They're not followers of Christ with their actions, and they have no desire to do that. But perhaps they can deceive themselves. Deceiving yourselves meaning people who hear without obeying. Okay, I hear what you're saying, but I don't really obey that. John MacArthur said, any response to the gospel that does not include obedience is self-deception. You're deceiving yourselves. If you're not obeying what God has said, you're deceiving yourselves. MacArthur goes on and says, Satan loves that kind of profession because it gives church members the notion that they are saved when they're not. Now, there's a lot of guesses, statistical guesses, as to how many church members are not saved. Some say 50% of church members are not saved. They've come, they've joined a church, they've been baptized. But are they really transformed? Well, here's what the Bible says. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. Jesus said, you're my friends if you do what I command you. Now, obviously, all of us, because you're here on a Sunday night, all of us do all that we just read perfectly. But what about someone else who doesn't? Does that mean they're lost? Well, there's somebody else that wrote a scripture, and this is from the NIV because I like the way that the NIV stated this. It says this, Paul says, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is, it's no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. And I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For what I do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Anybody else in here feel like Paul? Don't raise your hand, so I don't want to be the only one raising my hand. Paul's point is a true believer, the basic longing of a true believer is to do God's will. The basic longing of a true believer is to do God's will. That's the desire that a true believer has, that they want to do God's will. They want to have a behavior that corresponds to God's standards that's demonstrated in righteous living. That's important that we have that there's a desire in our heart to do that. Okay, we'll look on past. Because if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man looking at his own face in a mirror. For he looks at himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. Now, I learned a thing. This is just a bit of trivia that will not cost you anything extra. The mirrors that we look at today are glass mirrors. They didn't come about until the 14th century. So mirrors that they had when Paul was writing this, most of the time was polished up bronze or brass, sometimes silver or gold even, but it was just polished metal. It wasn't glass like we saw. So you didn't see clearly, but They weren't that kind of a mirror. Okay. End of the Trivial Pursuit things. Early in the morning, when I get up and I stumble into the bathroom, and I'll kind of look at the mirror and see, and then I'll stumble back out. There's a lot of mornings that I could have a gash down the side of my face and would never notice it, because I just don't really pay attention. I'm a hearer, sort of. Or there's other days, if it's a Saturday and I get up and we don't have to go anywhere, we don't have to go and see anybody, and I look at myself in a mirror, and I don't care what I look like. I see all the bad stuff, and I say, I don't even care. So, if you're having a bad hair day, you just don't care. I wonder if sometimes we look at ourselves and don't pay attention to what the mirror of the Word of God says to us. Maybe we just don't look closely. And maybe we just don't care. Maybe we don't pay attention to the conflicts of what God says and how we're living. Because God says this and we're living like this, and we don't make a change. I wonder how many people come to church, and it's probably more so when we lived in the South. How many people come to church on a Sunday morning because you're supposed to? That's just what you're supposed to do. And they come to church and they feel good about themselves and they go back and they don't pay any attention to God's Word the rest of the week. That doesn't make any difference with how they live their lives. That doesn't make any difference with anything like that. And surely all those people are in Texas and they don't live up here in the Northwest. But people just don't care. And maybe they're deceiving themselves by thinking, okay, I've done my good for the day. Maybe they even go to Sunday school class and then stay for a worship service. Well, that's got to be some extra points with God. But maybe they're deceiving themselves. Maybe they're kind of ratty in what they really are like. But they see themselves as saying, I went to church, I'm pretty good. And they see themselves as being that. But, keep reading. But the one who looks intently into the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it is not a forgetful hearer, but one who does good works. This person will be blessed in what he does. Now, look carefully. Look at the words, looks intently. That's a different verb than the earlier one that said one who looks at himself in a mirror. And I'm not even going to try to pronounce any of that Greek stuff. But it means to examine, to discover its deepest and most complete meaning. Who looks intently at that, who really pays attention. There have been times when we've been out in the woods walking around, and sometimes I would even catch up to Todd and pass him because he has stopped and found something growing out of some bark on a tree. And so, look at this. This is. And he'd take a picture and he'd do all that kind of stuff. And I said, okay, it's some tree mold. And start to head on out. But Todd stops and looks intently at things like that. And then sometimes he gives them a name. And none of the rest of us ever know if what he's saying is true or correct or anything like that. And I have named a few things with things like that. But I have caught Todd looking at things intently. When I would have just walked by and saw that, we walked by some stuff one time, so kind of orangey, yellowy, flat stuff sticking out of the side of a tree. I thought, oh, that's kind of cool. But Todd stops and looks and takes pictures. That's looking intently at it, okay, to discover what it is. But now look, one who looks intently at what? At the perfect law. What's that? God's Word. Okay, it is perfect. It is inerrant. It is infallible. It brings us to freedom. It's the perfect law of freedom. It brings us to freedom. It breaks the bonds. One of the cool things with that VBS Music has done in the past is incorporate a lot of sign language with the hand motions. And Renee, isn't it salvation that it's this? It's something like this. But it's, you're bound up and then you're set free. So God's Word breaks the bonds of sin and sets us free. So we follow Him, look intently into His perfect law of freedom and perseveres in it, okay? Keeps on looking, meditates on it. And that's not changing. David, can you move that to the next one? I don't know what I did wrong. Okay, well maybe forget all that. Perfect law of freedom, and we persevere in it. Somebody that perseveres in that, Psalm 1:2 says this, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." That's somebody that perseveres in that. Then perseveres the perfect law of freedom and perseveres in. You will know the truth, and the truth will what? Will set you free. So those bonds have been broken. We've been set free. Then Romans 6:22 says this, "But now that you have been set free from sin," and watch this, "and have become slaves of God." Okay, well now wait a minute. I thought we were set free. We were set free from our sin, but we become slaves of God. And the fruit that you get from that leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. So we're set free from the bonds of sin, but we're made slaves to God, and we go in the ways that He wants us to go. That's important. A train is set free to go on the tracks. There is a wonderful picture somewhere in computer land of a train that runs from Durango to Silverton, Colorado. Yes, thank you. That is a wonderful train. If you've not ever ridden that train, I highly recommend that you do. It's wonderful. I've ridden that train two different times. Once when I was a kid and once 18 years ago. But it was a wonderful thing. That train is set free to go. And it can go a lot of places. But it is a slave to the tracks. And if it gets off of those tracks, it's not good. Especially in that picture right there. You want it to stay on the tracks. You want it to be, okay, in our lives, there's some mountain passes that we go through that we need to stay on the tracks, and we need to stay close to that, because sometimes we can crash when we get off the tracks. And if that engineer on that train crashes, there's a lot of other people on that train that that's going to affect. So we have to be careful and stay on the tracks that God has designed for us. We're set free from the bondage of sin, and we become slaves to Christ. And then look what the last part of that phrase says. Not a forgetful hearer, but one who does good works. Okay? Two different conflicting parts. Not a forgetful hearer. That goes back to the original picture. Not a forgetful hearer, but one who does good works. First, not a forgetful hearer. He hears, sort of, but forgets and doesn't let the word impact him. Or he hears and doesn't care and doesn't let the word impact him. Not a forgetful hearer, but one who does good works, one who does let the word impact him and applies it in his life. And the result is good works. A life that is impacted by God's word, and others see the results of God in that person's life. So it goes back to the James, the faith and work theme, central focal passage of James. That's important. A humble follower of God isn't mad because God doesn't allow him to go and sin at will. Well, God, I wanted to go and do this. I wanted to go and do this. This is so frustrating to be a follower of God because I wanted to do this. Now I wanted to do this. No. Travis quoted this morning from Romans chapter 6. Shall we continue in sin that grace might increase? May it never be. How shall we who have died to sin still continue in it? We've died to sin. We don't want to go back that way. We don't want to continue in that. So we want to do something different. Long ago and far, far away, when I was a music and youth guy in San Antonio, I had taken the youth to a guy, a Christian comedian guy was in town, and we went to hear him. And he was telling lots of stories and was hilariously funny. And then he told about when he got saved. And wonderful conversion story, wonderful, all of that kind of stuff. And then he said, now I sleep with as many women as I want to. And I get drunk as often as I want to. And so I start gathering up our youth and saying, we're out of here. We're not going to sit here for this. But he went on and he said, but my want to's have changed. And I don't want to sleep around with a bunch of different women. And I don't want to go and get drunk. And I don't want to do. And so I decided, okay, we'll stay and hear this guy out and do that. But it did really throw me off kilter for a little bit when he said that. But he made a great point. Is his want to's had changed. His heart had been transformed. And he didn't want to do the things that he used to do. He didn't want to do that. So that was important in his transformation. It's important in our transformation. That if we're going to humbly accept the implanted word of God, it's going to make a difference in our lives. We don't want to do all that anymore. We want to be slaves to Christ. We want to stay on the tracks and do what he says with that. Now let's look at ourselves. Let's take this mirror and look at ourselves. And don't raise your hands on these questions either, so I won't be the only one that's raising my hand. Do we sometimes read over things in God's word without looking intently? Do we? And I'm just speaking from one guilty, okay? Do we read this because this is in the plan and I've got to read this? And if I don't get this covered, I'm not staying up with the plan. So I've got to read this, and I read it as quickly as I can, but not look intently and see what that really says. Or do we deceive ourselves in thinking that we're better than we are? Well, that just has something to do with those other people over there. That's really not talking to me, because I really don't have a big problem with that. Or do we even deceive ourselves into thinking that we're saved when we're not? Are people deceiving themselves into saying, yeah, I said that prayer when I was 7 years old. Sure, I've lived like the devil and I've been to church twice since then, but are they deceiving themselves? Or do we look intently at the Word and see things that need to be changed, but we don't change? We look at ourselves on Saturday morning and say, I just don't care. Do we make up excuses instead of having a humble attitude and recognize God's rule and reign and authority in our lives? Lord, I really don't feel like doing this today. But you're the boss. And you're the one that has set this set of train tracks for me. And I need to follow this set of tracks that you've set. And it's different than somebody else's set of tracks. This isn't in my notes. I hope it's okay. Long ago and far, even farther away, I was the music and youth guy in a small town just north of Lubbock, Texas, Abernathy. And there was an old youth guy, and he was just the youth guy at First Baptist Church in Lubbock. And Jerry and I became good friends. And Jerry was ancient to be, especially to be a youth guy. Jerry was 50 years old. And one of the things that he told me, we were talking about stuff with a bunch of other youth guys. And Jerry said, others may, but you may not. Well, isn't it okay to do this? Well, maybe so, but you may not. Just because somebody else's set of tracks may go a different direction, this is the set of tracks God has chosen for you. Others may, you may not. Important. Do we make up excuses instead of having a humble attitude and recognizing God's rule and reign and authority in our lives? Or do we look intently and see what God says and apply that to our lives, and then persevere to obey what God says? We're at least with my experience, we're not going to get that all at one step. But persevering means step by step, I'm going to keep going and I'm going to keep doing this, and not quitting. Looking intently, taking time, but following what God has said and how He makes a difference in our lives. May we all have our walks with God with things like that. One of the things that we need to make sure and not do is have everything set with what we are, and this is just the way I am. That's if and I've heard people with a bad temper. Well, that's just the way I am. But it's bad. Shouldn't be that way. Well, that's just the way I am. Change it. Because God didn't say be that way. I don't like to go and I don't like to talk with other people about God or things with God or anything like that. Well, change it. God said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some, but encourage one another as you see the day approaching. Keep doing that. And if you don't want to go, change that. Because that's what God said.